December 8, 1938. How the humanity of our Lord served as a veil for his divinity and for the prodigies of the divine volition. How all created things and the very creature are veils that hide the divinity. The Immaculate Conception and the new birth of all. My flight in the divine will continues. It seems to me that it can be found in all things, natural and spiritual, saying with unspeakable love, I am here, let's act together, do not do it by yourself. Without me you wouldn't know how to do it the way I would. I would remain with the pain of having been put aside, while you would remain with the sorrow of not having in your acts the value of one single act of a divine will. While I was thinking this, my sweet Jesus, repeating his short little visit, all goodness told me, my blessed daughter, my most holy humanity was the depository of my divine will. There was no act, little or great, even the breathing and the motion, that my humanity, like a veil, did not hide completely in my divine fiat. Even more, I would not have been capable of a breath or movement if I did not enclose it within me. Therefore, my humanity served as the veil in which to hide my divinity as well as the great prodigy of the work of my will in all my acts. Otherwise, no one could have come close to me. My majesty and the shining light of my divinity would have eclipsed him and would just have floored him, all would have run away from me. Who would have dared to cause me the smallest pain? But I love the creature and I came on earth not to show off my divinity, but my love. So I wanted to hide myself inside the veil of my humanity to get acquainted with man, to do what he did, reaching the point of letting him give me unheard of pains and even death. The soul that unites with my humanity in all her acts and pains, by wanting to find my will and make it her own, breaks the veil of my humanity, finding in my acts the fruit, the life, the prodigies that my humanity did within me, and receiving all that I did within me as her own life. My humanity will serve to help and guide her, showing her how to live within it. In this way, I will still be on earth, continuing to be the veil hiding what my will wants to do. But if creatures will look for me without my will, they will find only my veil, not the life of my will. They will not be able to produce the prodigies that it operated in the hiding place of my humanity. It is always my will that knows how to place inside the creature the greatest prodigies, the brightest suns. Wonders never before seen as if inside each of my humanities on earth. But, alas, I search them and I cannot find them because no one, in total firmness, is looking for my will. Then dear Jesus kept silent. I remained thinking of what he had just said, and I could really see how everything Jesus had done and suffered became bearer of the divine volition. Then he continued, my good daughter, it wasn't only my humanity that though in a more special way was hiding my divinity and my will. All created things and the very creatures are veils that hide our divinity and our adorable will. Even heaven is a veil that hides our immense divinity, our firmness and immutability. While the variety of stars hides the multiple effects that our immensity, firmness and immutability possess. Oh! If man could see our divinity revealed under that blue vault without the veil of that blue that covers us and hides us, his littleness would remain crushed under our majesty. He would walk trembling, feeling continuously upon him the gaze of a pure, holy, strong and powerful God. But since we love man, we veil ourselves, lending ourselves secretly to all that is needed. The sun is the veil that hides our shining majesty. We must perform a miracle to restrain our uncreated light so as not to scare the creature. Veiled by this light created by us, we approach the creature, kissing her and warming her. We lay this veil of light even under her steps on the right, on the left, under her head. We even fill her eye with light, and, who knows, maybe the frail pupil of her eye will recognize us. But no, in vain she takes only the veil of light that hides us and we remain the unknown God in the middle of the creatures. What pain! The wind, too, is a veil that hides our empire. The air is a veil, hiding our life that continuously gives to the creatures. The sea is a veil that hides our purity, our refreshments and divine freshness. Its murmuring hides our continuous love, and when we see we are not listened to, we even storm in huge waves so as to be recognized and loved. For every good that man receives, our life is hidden inside, offering that good to him. Our divinity loves man so much that it even hides inside the earth, making it firm and stable under his steps, not allowing him to vacillate. Even in the singing bird, in the flowered fields, in the various sweetnesses of the fruits, our joys, to make him taste the innocent delights of our divine being. And how much more could I tell you about the many prodigies of love by which we are veiled and hidden inside man? We veil ourselves in the breathing, in the heartbeat, in the motion, in the memory, in the intellect, in the will. We veil ourselves in the pupil of his eyes, in his word, in his love, and oh, how painful it is not to be recognized or loved. We can say that we live in him, we carry him, and we let ourselves be carried by him. He could do nothing without us. But still, we live together without knowing each other. What pain! If only he knew us. The life of man was supposed to be the first, the greatest prodigy of our love and omnipotence. We had only to offer him, from within its veils, our sanctity and our love, covering him with our beauty, making him enjoy our delights. But since he does not recognize us, he keeps us like the faraway God away from himself. If we are not recognized, we cannot give our goods to the blind. He is forced to live under the nightmare of his own miseries and passions. Poor man, who does not recognize us, either in the veils that hide us within him, or in the veils of each created thing. He just keeps running away from our life and from the scope for which he was created. So, many times, when we cannot tolerate his ingratitude, the very goods contained in our veils are turned into chastisement for him. Therefore, do recognize that you are nothing other than a veil hiding your Creator, in order for you to receive, and for us to administer, our divine life in all your acts. Recognize it in the veils of all created things, so that all may help you to receive a good so great. After this, I was doing my round in the acts of the divine volition. How many surprises in this will, so holy! It is this will that most awaits the creature, keeping her aware of all its works, letting her know how much it loves her, and offering her everything it does. It fidgets to give without ceasing, and it is content with a little "I love you" from the creature in return. Then I arrived at the conception of my mother and queen. How many wonders! And my sweet Jesus continued, "My blessed daughter, today is the feast of the Immaculate Conception. It is the most beautiful feast, the greatest one for us, for heaven and for earth. In the act of creating this celestial creature from nothing, we made such prodigies and wonders that the heavens and the earth remained completely filled. We called everyone, nobody was put aside, so that all could be reborn together with her. It was the new birth of everyone and everything. Our divine being overflowed so much that, in the act of her conception, we put at her disposal seas of love, of sanctity and light, with which she could love all, make saints of all, and give light to all. The celestial little one felt an innumerable population being reborn in her little heart. And what did our paternal goodness do? First, we donated her to ourselves, so that we could delight and court her, and she could delight and court us. Then, we donated her to every creature. Oh! How much she loved us, and loved all with such intensity and fullness that there is no point in which her love does not arise. The whole creation, the sun, the wind, the sea, are filled with the love of this holy creature, because they too felt reborn with her to new glory. They even had the great glory of possessing their queen, to the extent that when she prays to us for the good of her people with a love that we cannot resist, she says, "Adorable Majesty, remember that you offered me. I am yours and I am theirs too. So, by right, you must grant what I ask."